And I think I told, well, I told some folks yesterday. Did I say this morning I'm going to do something really weird?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I told a few people.
Very different.
To my knowledge, what I'm about to do, I've never done in church before. This is going to be your reaction. Whoa, this is really cool. Or, man, I am bored to death. Okay, I'm just saying.
Is this the one that can handle a lot of Greek?
Yes. Yeah. This is. You're going to get a Greek lesson tonight. Okay. Because this is. And trust me, I'm not a Greek scholar by any stretch of the imagination. But what I did do is I reached out to my Greek professor, who is a Greek scholar, and I explained to him what I'm about to explain to you, and he said, you are 100% correct. And I was like, yes, yes. Because,
awesome.
You know, yeah. Let's turn to, let's pray before we get started. Lord, again, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your love and your kindness. And Lord, I do ask that you would be with me tonight, especially tonight with this, because you know my heart. And my heart is not to be braggadocious or show off or anything like that. It is all about magnifying you. And I believe that can be done tonight. Lord, thank you for your love and your kindness. We are so grateful and thankful for all that you do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so now turn. Okay, if you haven't, Matthew chapter 3. let's turn to First Timothy. Where did Matthew come from? I don't even know where that came from. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's start reading in verse 8. Likewise, must deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding fast the ministry of the faith in a pure conscience. And these also first must then let them use the office of a deacon to be found blameless. Even so, must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well, for they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So let's go back to verse 8 and 9. Those in the Greek, verses 8 and 9 are really like one sentence, so to speak. What I want you to do is I want you to look at verses 8 and 9, and I want you to find the subject in that sentence. And when you have it, if you raise your hand, then I kind of...
8 and 9?
Yeah, 8 and 9 in the Greek is like one sentence, okay? So, okay. So if you have the subject, just kind of hold your hand up so I kind of get an idea of, you know, when most people figure out what the subject is. you don't know? It's been too long, right? Okay, I'm going to ask the English teacher.
The deacon.
The deacon is the subject, okay? Deacon, is, or the subject is always a what?
Noun.
A noun, okay? So,
you can tell people have not been in school long.
Yeah. Okay. So, when you have a subject, what is the other part of English that you always have to have?
The verb.
The verb. Okay. So, find the verb. When you find the verb, let me know.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. A few hands. Okay, Terry?
B.
Good guess.
Okay.
No. Okay, so does your Bible have italics? Is the word B in italics?
Yes.
Okay, then that, okay, let me explain what the italics are in the Bible. Anybody know when you, some Bibles don't do this, but some do. Most Bibles do have the italics words. What does that mean when you see an italics word in the Bible? Chris?
It means it's not in the original language. It was added after the fact.
Okay, it was, we got to be careful
English.
Here. Okay.
It's an English word, not a Greek word.
Right, it's a word that's brought in, it's italicized so that we as the reader know that it's not in the original language. But in order for the sentence to make sense in English, sometimes they have to add words. Does that make sense? Yes.
But if you're reading in italics and you skip over it.
No, you don't want to skip over it.
Okay. What I'm saying is that the sentence still makes sense, but now.
Yeah, it can, yes. So in this case. Let's look at verse 8. It says, likewise, again, you can take the word must and be out, okay? Likewise, the deacon, grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine. So if you were to read that without the italicized words, your brain would automatically put the word be in there, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay? So... Okay, slide number one, Chris.
Oh, sorry.
So, what I did here... do y'all like diagramming?
Yes.
Yeah. No. See, Jan's over here just salivating. Okay? So, what I did here is I did not diagram this. I had my computer do it. But this is really important if you understand diagramming, okay? If you don't understand diagramming, like I said, this could get really boring. But so here on the left side of that line right there is always the what?
Subject.
The subject. Okay? What is always to the right? The verb. But there's nothing there, right? So... The word must, again, it's an italicized here, is the word dia in Greek. And I think I'm right here. I could be wrong. This must likewise here is a parenthetical statement, I believe. Okay? And this does not have anything to do with the rest of the sentence. What does this have to do with?
The subject.
Okay. No. It's because of the word likewise. Oh, it is referring back in history. Okay? So in this context, it is referring to the qualifications of the pastor.
Similar to a therefore.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Okay. So really, in a sense, this is just a word that that God put in there to get you to think back to the qualifications of the pastor. Does that make sense? Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If I lose you here, let me know. So.
See it first.
Well, I think it says bishop in the text. It doesn't say pastor.
Well, yeah, bishop, but bishop. Yeah, okay. So this word, this little group right here, because of this, we know it really doesn't have anything to do with this sentence wise.
Gosh.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Makes
sense. Okay. So now you have here the deacon, and then you, along here, you see all of these Greek words. And I just went in and just wrote the word is because, in Greek to English, it would be is, be, are, that kind of thing. So, here you have this understood verb, because the sentence in actuality has no verb. Does that make sense? So this is a common sentence structure in Greek, where it is just understood that verb is there. I don't know if they do that to save their handwriting or what. I don't know, but it happens a lot. So you have this this verb, this understood verb here, and then you have modifiers here and here and here that with the word not. Okay, you follow me? So is or be not, and then you have the description here of all of these. So just looking at this, what is the first thing that jumps out at you? Yes. How many agree with Josh? Okay. when I saw that, because I'm a visual learner, okay? And so it helps me, diagramming helps me see the bigger picture, if you would, okay? And when I saw this, the very first thing I thought of is each of these quote-unquote qualifications carries the same weight. They're all equal. Okay? Does that make sense? So, a deacon is grave. Or will, or the emphasis is now. And it has the idea of moving forward. Okay? So the principle here is this, that a person who becomes a deacon is all of these things. Not will be, not going to be maturing into these things, but they are these things. You see, you understand here? So, grave, double-tongued, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, okay, because the word much is modifying the word wine. And then that word there in English translates out greedy of filthy lucre, not greedy of filthy lucre. is holding, or no, no, not is modifying greedy. Not here is modifying this. Okay, so here you have is holding a pure conscience, mystery, or a faith, a mysterious faith. Does that make sense? A mystery. Okay, so that's how these two sentences work. Any questions here? So the emphatic verb here in here in your Bibles, the word be is added because in the original language there is no verb. So in English we have to have a verb in order for it to make sense. So Terry, you were right.
Okay.
I was gonna say
that
it would be must be.
must likewise works together. Okay. That's how it works. So it's must likewise Be. So the verb would be be. Okay? Yes.
So where it has is grave, would that be the be?
Yeah, you can put in the word are, be, is, you know, I just couldn't fit them all in there.
Right.
You know. But yeah.
Okay.
Right. And it's this is this word na. I'm trying to remember how to say it in Greek. The V there is pronounced as an N. So it would be an na or something like that. Anyway, it's an emphatic statement. There's no getting around it. It is a deacon is or be now. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So any questions before we move on? Yeah, Rick?
The website you said you use, Logos. Is it Logos?
Yeah, it's not a website, it's a
program.
A Bible program I have, yeah. Yeah, I got this from Logos, yeah. Yeah.
On the web we can find this in that type of structure.
I would think somewhere on the web you could find diagramming, but in my computer I just go click 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 and it's done. It's really cool. So, okay. Next slide. So we're going to move on down through these verses. So here you have the next verse, verse 10, and so this is verse 10 diagrammed out. So the word dia here is the word and. So what does the word and implicate?
Continuing thought.
Okay, it's a connecting word. So what it's basically saying is everything in the past verse, or two verses, is the thought is continuing. So that understood must be that mandatory be is still in effect. So, and these also first be proved. And then this word here, diakona, something, it's a form of the word diakonos, used basically translate this into English, use the office of a deacon, the word then being blameless. So, again, this is all connected with that one word. So, the mandatory requirement is continuing on into this verse. Does that make sense? Any questions on this one? This is kind of straightforward. Okay? Okay, next slide. And Rick, if you want my, you can have these when I'm done here if you want. Okay. Yeah. Okay, the next one here. wives is the noun, okay? And any of you who wants a copy of these, we can make a copy afterward, just see me. And I'm going to give them to Rick, and Rick can make copies for you. So here, the noun, because you're changing thoughts here, right? You're going from deacons to the wives of deacons. So you're changing thoughts. So your noun here is wives. But let's see, look at verse 11. It says, even so must their wives be grave, and on and on and on. So again, you have the understood verb here, and then you have that's the same word here, but the word there, what is the word there referring to?
No.
Okay, the word there is going backwards to what?
The deacon.
Okay, so so you have that, and then the statement here, even so, referring back to the deacon. So just as they must be, are you know.
It sounds like even so similar to the likewise.
It is. Yes. So this statement here, again, I think I could be wrong, but I think it's a parenthetical statement, is referring backwards, connecting the deacon to the wife. Okay. And then again, the understood verbs, again, the word not here. So is or will be or must be grave, not slanderous, is sober, faithful in all things. You see that? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions on this? Okay. Boy, you guys are easy. I expected all kind of hard questions.
I think we're all assuming you're going to wrap, you're going to make sense of it all.
Yes. Okay. Yes. At least I hope to. Okay, next slide.
Well, faithful in all things means in everything that she says she'll do, she does. And faithful as a wife. Faithful
okay.
What do you
want
to say? Okay.
Okay. The idea here is that she is faithful in all things. Okay. I would say parenting, being a wife, just it's an all inclusive term. Okay. So in other words, if she says she's going to do something, she does it. Okay, and then this one gets a little more complicated, and now we're back to the deacon, subject deacon, and then the verb here is being. So what is the word being? What is that word in your mind when you hear the word being? What do you think of?
Is
it's like present tense.
It is a present tense word, but it also carries a future tense with it.
Correct.
Okay? Because if I am being today, then tomorrow I'm still being. Okay? So, what is the understood implication of that word being? Or the word is or be? Any of those verbs? What is... Okay, it's a continuous. So, and this is one of the questions I asked my Greek professor. I said, okay, look, if a deacon ever stops being or stops to be, you know, any of the qualifications, does he cease to be a deacon? And the answer is
yes.
Yes. So this is not, okay, I am a faithful person today, so I can be a deacon today. Tomorrow, I'm not faithful, but I still can be a deacon because yesterday I was faithful. Okay?
Wouldn't you say, though, this is
being completely contrary to what I just said. Okay? Yes.
But in a lot of churches, don't remove them from that office.
Right. In a lot of churches, Baptist churches, I know, other denominations, I'm not sure, but a lot of Baptist churches, they have something called a deacon for life. So that if you're ever a deacon, you are a deacon for life, no matter what happens in your life. Okay? And according to this, that's wrong. Because you can only be a deacon as long as it's a matter of the heart. Okay? So here we have the word deacon. So then we have this modifier down here. the word for, for they have used the office of a deacon well, okay? So it's not that just that they used the office of a deacon, but they used it well. Okay, the emphasis is on the word well here. They will purchase to themselves a degree of good and boldness, great in faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You see that? Okay. And then here, coming across, the deacon being here, the husband of wife one, or one wife, ruling well. Again, the emphasis here is on well. It's modifying the word ruling. Ruling well their children and their house. And then here, this is an important phrase. Why is that so important? That is their own. Why is it important that a deacon only rule his own house well?
Worry about yourself.
There you go. There you go. Okay. So, having said all of this, the point that I'm trying to make here is this. Again, because I'm a visual learner, diagramming helps me kind of put things in perspective. And you see through all of this a consistency here of that every one of the qualifications basically carries equal weight. There's not one qualification that is any more important than any other. Does that make sense?
Correct.
Okay. And I asked my Greek professor, I said, question, because I think somebody here asked me this question, so I asked him, and I've wondered about it myself anyway. Why is there a qualification for a deacon's wife and not a pastor's wife? Have you ever thought that? Chris?
What I heard is, when I've asked that question, is that if his wife is not those qualifications, then he has failed at the management of his house.
There you go.
Or it weakens his testimony because he might be perfect, but she's not, thus he is brought into question.
Right. Okay, but why is that same thing not said about a pastor's wife?
We don't.
Yeah, and that's what my Greek professor said. He said, I don't know. He said, Rick, theologians have been arguing about that for centuries. We don't know. God didn't do it. We don't know. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have to be a deacon before you can be a pastor?
No. No, that is in none of the qualifications. In fact, I would dare say that pastors would probably make lousy deacons. Just saying, because we're kind of dumb. No, because pastors generally are used to running everything,
leader.
You know, the leader. So for a pastor, I've seen retired pastors in churches, and they generally will not be deacons because they never want to give the appearance that they would be, what's the word I'm looking for? Subverting the pastor's authority. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, yes. Oh, there you go.
Well, that's what the Acts passage says.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that, you know, I never thought of that. Yeah, that's actually pretty good. Okay, maybe. I don't know. Yes.
So I did have a question, and maybe I'll answer this the last time we were talking about this. So it says the husband being of one wife.
Right.
I know we talked about, you know, if your that it disqualifies you if you say you had a divorce, right? It disqualifies
right.
you. But also say if there was infidelity and you had a divorce, even if it wasn't your fault.
Okay, we're going to get right? into that.
I had. Well,
oh, okay.
My question
okay.
was going to be.
Okay.
If they passed away.
Oh. Okay. If they passed away. most theologians, every theologian I've ever read, and everybody I've ever talked to about it says that if a pastor's wife dies, then he is free to remarry, okay?
Right.
Because it is a husband, one wife,
correct.
Okay? Now, I'm sure there's people out there that would say, no, you know. Now,
that covenant, the marriage covenant ends at death.
Yeah, it ends at death, right. So, but let me put it to you this way. I had a I wouldn't call him a friend. It was more of an acquaintance. He was a pastor of a church in North Carolina, up in the mountains of North Carolina, and pastored a church, what, 200-300? Okay. Well, anyway, his wife got cancer and died. I mean, like really fast. She got cancer and died. Boom. And he kept on pastoring for several years and eventually got remarried. Question. Should he have continued to pastor?
I think that's up to his church.
Okay. Absolutely. It would be up to his church. Now, I can only speak for myself in this. If my wife were to get cancer and die, I would not pastor. I couldn't do it. I could not do what I do without her.
Right.
Okay. I couldn't do it. Now he did. And again, I think this is a discussion for the local church to have. But I did talk to him, in the interim between the time his wife died and the time that, he remarried. And being a single pastor was difficult for multiple reasons. But one of the reasons, single women in the church were after him. it did cause some issues. So does that answer your question?
That does.
Okay. So. Any other questions on this? One of the reason I wanted to do this is to show the finality of the qualifications. Because to me, when you see it like this, it is very emphatic that these qualifications must be met. There's no way around it. Do y'all see that? Right. Because all the qualifications are all equal. So, yeah, it's not like he has to meet, you know, three of the four or, you know, be a really good guy. And, well, he's trying on this one. No, that's not how it works.
Like you said earlier, none matters more than another. They all matter equally.
Exactly. Right. So any questions on any of this before we move on? Why?
Well, I just, I think it was Nicole. Did we cover that last time? Nicole said...
that was 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
Nicole was in the nursery.
Yeah.
Were you not here when I talked about
it? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I talked to her afterward and explained what I explained. So... Oh, I did? Okay.
Yes.
All right. I will next week.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. And the question is this. Kind of goes along with what you were asking. And that is the qualifications post-salvation or pre-salvation? Okay? That was the question.
Does
so,
that count for your whole life? Or?
Well, no, her question was the specific one.
Well,
life,
but right, and that's and out of all of the qualifications, the only qualification that I've ever heard of that people have said, no, that one has to be pre-salvation, your whole life, is the husband of one wife. So we'll talk more about that next week, okay? I'll get a little bit better studied up on it, and we'll address it next week, okay? Any other questions? Because these are important questions.
And
so,
not to go off, but I almost thought you did answer it last time.
He did, but it was in the very scattered.
Yeah, I hadn't studied it out.
Okay.
I knew the answer intellectually, but I didn't really study it out.
Okay.
And have all the verses and everything. So,
okay.
I'll next week I'll have it in a logical progression. Okay. Because, you know, the reality is, if we don't know, we don't know.
Correct.
Right? So we need to know. And I can give you what I believe is the accurate answer to that question. Okay? Anybody else? We have about 10 minutes.
Well,
so,
even though you may not be qualified to have the title of deacon, it does not mean that you cannot still serve in your church.
That's right.
In an abundance of different ways.
Thank you.
Correct.
Thank you. That is the whole intent of what I've been trying to say. Okay, you just narrowed it down. Because what is a deacon? What is the word mean?
Servant.
Okay. And I have known, I'm going to be careful here. I have known men who have been selected as deacons in churches that were not servants. They never were servants when they were deacons. And to this day, they are still not servants.
They were elected on a beauty contest.
Exactly. And that is one of the points I was going to make tonight, is the fact that the election of deacons is not a popularity contest.
You're right.
Okay? And this guy, and I've known a few, but this one in particular, this one guy that I'm thinking about right now, he knew everybody, and he was very charismatic,
mm-hmm.
and he was able to get along with everybody, but he did nothing in the church. Did nothing. In fact, one time when the pastor called him up to pray to close the service, he had the prayer written down. He couldn't even just pray from his heart. You know, to me, that's sad. You know, if I call on somebody to pray, you know, man, just talk to God. You know. But he knew that his pastor told him he was going to close the service in prayer. So he had jotted down his prayer, and he sat it down on the pulpit and he read his prayer. I thought, how sad. How sad. You know, so again, it's not a popularity contest. And the reality is this, and I think it was this last week I talked about this. When there was a time where I was up to be a deacon and I did not get chosen to be a deacon, I got depressed. I was like, man, what did I do wrong? You know, what, and a very good friend of mine came to me and told me, he said, Rick, he said, you're already a deacon. You just keep doing it. Just because you don't have the title doesn't mean anything. You just keep doing what you're doing. And God will bless you for it. And I said this last week, and one of the fears that I have of having deacons is that people in our church will stop serving. They'll say, oh, we have deacons now, so let them do it. No, 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 no. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. And I've only got about 6 minutes, so I'm not going to get to my notes. But I will say this. I think it was last week, after the service, Jan asked me a question that I've talked to a few people, but she asked me a question. So why do we need deacons? Didn't you ask me that? Uh-uh. Oh, I thought you did. Somebody did. I thought it was you. Anyway.
Was it Marty?
It might have been.
Yeah, because he said something about it.
Okay. Why do you need deacons? What are they going to do?
Keep you from killing your pastor.
Well, you've got somebody else that you can call.
Well, okay.
And then they should have a little team of people that they
right.
know that
so
work.
The idea should be that the board of deacons should come alongside me
right.
and take some of the burdens that I carry. And one of the things that I want to do, and one of my goals in all this, is initially we're going to start with three deacons, okay? And what I want to do is I want to take those three deacons, and I want to divide the entire church into three groups. Okay, and again, I don't know. I haven't. I'm still praying about it. We might do it according to age groups. You know, three different age groups. We assign each deacon to a separate age group. We may do it geographically. You know, people on the east and west sides of town, and then central Fernley, or I don't know yet how we're going to do it, but the idea is that the point is this: I can't keep up with everybody anymore. There's just too many people. I just can't do it. So if we have deacons that are assigned to certain groups of people, it's easier for them to recognize, oh, hey, Jennifer wasn't here today. You know, I don't always notice when somebody misses just because there's just so many people. Yeah, I actually I do. But we just can't keep up with everybody. So if a deacon then recognizes, oh, wait a second, Jennifer's missed for 3 weeks or 2 weeks, then he can reach out to her and say, hey, everything okay? You know? Oh yeah, I've been in Poland. Oh, okay. Nut. Okay. So you see, so that's kind of part of my goal with having a board of deacons. Yes.
I do have another question. If you want to talk more about the deacon.
Well, we got about 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. It says here in verse 4, it says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Okay. When children get to be a certain age and they move out of your house, or they're no longer under your control, they make their own choices.
Correct.
You may have raised them to live this way and to believe this and to
right.
do these things right, but once they're out of your house, then
right, you know, right. Okay, they're not
talking about okay, adult children.
Well. Okay, let me see if I can share my heart on this, okay? If that adult child, quote-unquote adult child, left the house and immediately went south, I would have to say there was a problem in the home. You follow me?
Freshman year at college and they're immediately, yeah.
Okay, but if this falling away takes time, then it's choices that individual has made. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Chris.
Pastor, on that, actually a lot of so far the three commentaries I've read on that passage all indicate that all of these are based around what you would see in their life, you know, if you rule your house well, it's not that you rule it with an iron fist.
Right.
You would see the qualifications. You would see all of this stuff exhibited in their kids. So more that, yes, if they immediately leave, that was just rebellion, and thereby there was an issue in the house.
Right. Right.
But whereas a lot of this is, these qualifications are based around, if you are X and doing this, it'll show up in your life as matching this qualification. So
right.
A lot of these are based around what you would already see.
Right, right. So the Proverbs tells us, Proverbs are not necessarily promises.
Yeah, they're not absolutes.
They're not absolutes. What are proverbs? Proverbs are, hey, if you're really smart, you'll take my advice. Okay? And one of the proverbs says, if you will... Okay, read it.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart.
Okay, that is a proverb. That is not a promise from God. Okay, you follow me? So the promise, or the proverb says, if you train up a child in the way he should go, he will not depart from it.
Usually.
And that's the point.
Yeah.
This is not an emphatic command or promise of God. It is a proverb. Okay? So as parents, if we do our best, the hope is they will walk with God.
Yep.
And that is what will more than likely happen. But the reality is, when they get out on their own and they start their own families and they have their own careers and blah, 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 what can happen? They can make choices, but the proverb says that they will likely come back. It's understood that eventually they will cycle back around and they will come back to God. Kind of like the prodigal son. Exactly.
But
so,
for this office.
So I got like zero done in my notes.
But for this office, if you have grown children.
Yes.
And they have their own families and their own things, then.
Then it is on them.
Okay.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. The only time I would call it into question is, like I said, if you know somebody hits 18, and they're moving out on their 18th birthday, you know, I'm out of here. You know, they quit high school. You know, if they're still in high school, they quit high school and they move in with a buddy and they start doing drugs and all. I would have to say, okay, we got a problem in the home. You know, if on their 18th birthday they're bailing, then that something's not right. You know what I'm saying? So does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for our discussion tonight. I hope and pray, and you know my heart. I prayed a lot about this. I hope and pray that it was not boring, but it was informative and helpful because that was my goal. And Lord, help us to walk with you. We love you and we thank you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.